This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Alrighty, hour number two, what's happening? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, on this Wednesday around the country. Hope everybody's doing well. Hopefully the guy's done cutting Tiki's lawn, as that was bleeding through the their microphones before. Right, Tiki? They do a good job?
They do a great job. They nice. Always do.
Exactly. And we are coming from our studios here, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Big first hour. A lot of great NFL content. If you missed it, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney, odyssey.com, Odyssey app. Just type in our name, Tiki and Tierney. Search it. You'll get it all. We hit Belichick and his reported flirtation, if that's the right word. We'll use that. We'll frame it that way. You know, very, very loose flirtation, just kind of assessing what was going on with the Giants, with Washington, with Miami back in 2017 after Seth Wickersham's piece came out about the reported acrimony or turmoil or division between Belichick and Brady. And even if that's strong, I think it's certainly fair to say it was a little uncomfortable inside the building for the first time in a while between those two men. And it is what it is. I mean, familiarity, if it doesn't breed contempt in their case, it might breed a little staleness. So all good. We hit Sirianni's interesting coaching methods, evaluation tactics. Also, I mean, we both defended him on the Jalen Hurts assertion. Hey, listen, I mean, I've been here 2 days. I've watched guys on a computer. Can you give me a little time before I name the starter? Those are all things we hit. We defended on that. He got a lot of heat for that. We thought it was the prudent move. All right. So let's get to the Nets, who are trying to buy a championship in the most of, they are in the most of, man, I'll begrudge them for that. It's all good. I mean, listen, as much as I'm happy.
Is it really buying a championship?
Yes, it's 100% buying a championship. No question. Because every player that you developed, you traded. So it's absolutely, literally the definition of.
Okay. I guess so.
If you're going to resist me on that, we're going to have to battle for a little bit.
I wasn't. I was trying to say, well, maybe Joe Harris. But Joe Harris was a Cavalier.
It was a Cavalier before Net, right. Correct. Now, the Nets actually gave him some run, and the Nets properly developed him. He wasn't even really playing with the Cavs. But everybody, or mostly the other players, were obviously rerouted in the Harden trade, et cetera. And listen, you know, as great as this trio is on paper, they just cannot find the court together, setback to the point where it's right back to the beginning with James Harden's hamstring. Here's Steve Nash on what went down.
I was at the workout, but we didn't know until he'd have a scan, and so I just found that news as well. So yeah, we'll back to square one. We'll rehabilitate him and get him back whenever we can, and who knows when that'll be, but we'll support James and we'll support our performance team in getting him back and in his best condition as possible, and hopefully that comes, you know, sooner than later, but that there's no guarantee. So we just keep chipping away, we keep moving forward, and we hope for a speedy recovery.
So describe the difference here, Teague. You know, to stuff somebody right back into the scanning machine, the tube, is, to me, you know, worrisome. I mean, the hem, you know, right away when it's like a real aggressive tear or a really bad pull that you're going to be out for time.
Yep.
And I guess sometimes you can't necessarily tell, but the fact that Nash referenced the imaging machine that early in his statement tells me and tells us it's bad.
Yeah, it tells us that James Harden was maybe feeling a little bit better, and maybe he came out and tried to do a workout, because that's what he's alluding to. We saw him, he wasn't there necessarily for the workout of James Harden, but he probably felt something like, oh, that twinge is a little bit there. Let's go take a look at it. So feels okay, not great, feels okay, but a little tug there, here and there. Let's go look at it, and it feels like, and it's just right back to where they started from. You know, the challenge, you know, with hamstrings, BT, is that there's so many connected parts and pieces. Like, it could be something in his back that's causing him to have an imbalance. It could be something in his knee or one of the ligaments in the joints, or could be the IT band, which runs down the outside of your thigh. Mm-hmm. It could be anything that's causing the strain on his hamstring. And so while he thinks he's doing okay, he's probably not even like healing himself, which is why hamstrings are so tricky. I remember I used to get these when I ran track back in college, and it would put me on the shelf for a month.
Really?
Yeah, because you just don't know, right? And the last thing you want to do, especially as a track athlete, is be halfway healed and then go full out and open all the way up, because then you rip it again. For basketball, I'd look at it and say, or I'd hear about these hamstrings, like, how is this like possible? But then you realize how sudden and change of directions these guys have. Yep. where they're planting and stepping and pushing back and going forward. Like, it's a lot of jerky motion, which strains almost every muscle in your lower extremities, and they're not easy to come back from. And it's a comfort thing. But ultimately, this is tough for James Harden.
This is a big problem right here. And, yeah, you know, I told Tika stat in the first hour, no team in NBA history ever. And the NBA has been around a long time. No team in NBA history has had its top three leading scorers for any given season miss more than 10 games each and still go on to win the championship.
Yep.
Now, further context, number one, it's only a 72-game season. All of that is weighed against an 82-game season. So it's even percentage-wise a lot more based on the 10 games less.
But don't you think that if these guys get healthy at the right time, that stat kind of becomes invalid?
To an extent. No, that's where I'm going to be fair to the Nets. No question. If these guys are right and these guys are on the court physically flowing, I don't see really anybody except maybe a healthy Davis and LeBron duo out west maybe beating them. I think Philly would win, you know, probably two games, push them, because I think there'd be a game or two where Embiid just went insane and they couldn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
And he was just on top of his game, and he, you know, dropped, you know, 40 plus with 17 boards and unstoppable. I think you'd get a few of those games from Embiid. The Bucks aren't beating a healthy Nets team. The Hawks aren't doing it. The Knicks aren't doing it. The Celtics are. Nobody's doing it except maybe Philly, and out west, I would say the Lakers.
So the reason that James Harden made this team so compelling is because he's willingly a distributor, and he'll be the point guard, and he'll set things up for Kyrie and KD and whoever else he's out there on the court with. Whereas if James Harden is unavailable and Kyrie now has to take on that point guard role.
Yep.
It feels like you get a little bit more ISO, a little bit more, you know, I need to take this shot. And you lose out on lifting those other guys. That's the one, because I know James Harden's scoring is important, like his ability to score, but they have scoring, man. I mean, Joe Harris scored 24 points last night. Like, they're hugely efficient even when James Harden's not around. I mean, they won the game.
Yes.
Which is Kyrie and Joe Harris being the two leading scorers.
Kyrie was great again.
Oh, he was great again. We keep saying this, man. I mean, he's out there by himself of the three, obviously, but he's got a good supporting cast around him. So I'm not necessarily worried about the first round. We keep saying this, maybe not even the second round. It's just when you have to go score 120 and, you know, say Joe Harris gets cold for a quarter or so.
Yeah.
That's when you worry that, man, we could sure use that other dynamic scorer who can create and find shots on his own. Should a team defensively lock you down?
I'm not worried about the offense at all. I'm just worried about them getting stops when they need to.
Yeah.
I mean, Their offensive cohesion.
Well, in that regard, aren't they maybe better without James Harden out there?
Well, yeah, but at least with Harden, you have the ability to outscore somebody. You know, you can outgun them. I mean, even though they've outgunned teams.
Oh, you're talking about getting stops without Harden. I see what you got.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, listen, eventually, you know, even if they're all fully whole and healthy, they're going to have to get some meaningful, you know, high leverage fourth quarter stops.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do it. And there's no defensive continuity. You know, Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden haven't learned to play defensively together at all. I mean, we could sit here and bury the lead, and we bury the lead because talking about defense is pretty boring. But, you know, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to help each other out. And you got to know, you know, instinctually where your guys are going to be on the court. And if you're not getting the reps, you know, I don't know if you're back. I don't know if, you know, are you rotating from the weak side? Or what are we doing on the pick and roll? I mean, some of it's pretty basic that you could do in film.
Yeah.
But until you actually get out there and play against good teams in pressure spots defensively,
yeah,
you got a problem. Now, I want to get back to something that I think you really disagree with. I can't prove this, neither can you, but I think it's interesting for the air. So, I, you know, on our Slack chain, we'll set up the show. I tell you guys this all the time. We'll set up the show, and Santer might send a link to an article. Tiki will do it. We'll all do it. Or D-Cell will do it. We'll all do it. If something strikes us as interesting. And obviously, the Harden stuff, you knew we were getting to it today because it happened yesterday. And I sent the story to this on the Slack channel, and I forget exactly what I wrote, but along the lines of, you know, is this attributable to partially coming into camp out of shape?
Yeah.
And my partner shot that down pretty swiftly. Now, before I give you the rein to shoot it down again,
yeah,
I got to tell you, again, I can't prove this, neither can you, which is conjecture. But if I show up for anything, I know that I'm not wired physically like these pro athletes, I get that. But if anybody shows up grossly ill-prepared to do their job, and I know that he put up numbers on opening night, I know that, but he was carrying 25 pounds of weight, extra weight, that just came from the pandemic after he shaved it all off in the bubble. And when you carry that much extra weight, it's because you're not burning calories. How do you burn calories? By doing cardio. What's cardio? Running.
Yeah.
When you're running, you're stretching, and you're keeping your ligaments and things that can strain and rip and shred and tear pliable. I can't prove it, but I believe on some level, when he was then traded to the Nets and this inner urgency to prove, even though we know he's a great player, but he wants to prove, you know, validate the trade, and he wants to fit in, and he wants to do his thing. He's playing extra hard, probably, even playing a little more defensively. You can't tell me definitely that there wasn't a little tweakage that is connected to being out of shape. I can't believe that.
So, first of all, he's 31 years old. And you know, when you get older, it's harder. You got to work harder to stay the same, like physically fit. So 25 pounds, I don't know if it was quite 25 pounds,
17,
he was, whatever, he was chunky. But to me, and I didn't shoot down the fact that he was overweight. That is what it is. But the fact that he was overweight told me that he wasn't grinding like he was grinding before the Orlando bubble. And we remember him when he came back, because he spent that entire, however long that break was, 2 months or 3 months between the end when the regular season shut down and March.
The pickup. Yeah, it was March, April, May, June, July.
Oh, God, maybe.
That's like 5 months, maybe.
5 months. But he was in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how he's running these mountains and, you know, doing these extra workouts, getting shots up. And he was lean. Like, he looked really good when he came in that Orlando bubble. But clearly, he just took a respite. And got big, like really big, really quickly.
Yep.
And so when you do that, and especially because the season turned around, it really wasn't a training camp, right? It really, and he wasn't even there. Given that it was a short training camp, he wasn't even there.
And he failed COVID protocol, so he missed workouts there.
That's right. And so he probably spent a lot of time sedentary.
Exactly.
And not doing those things. And I'm not talking about getting fat. It is what it is. You can get fat and still be a pretty good athlete. I mean, trust me, I see these guys running these marathons, and I'm like, dude, you weigh 240. How the heck are you running, you know, 720 miles? You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I think it's a problem with the workouts that he's used to doing. He just didn't do those. And it's coming back to haunt him because age catches up with you really quickly in professional sports, especially when you're as dynamic as he is. It's not like he's taking fadeaway jump shots. You know what I mean? He's yo-yoing you with the ball in his hand. He's trying to go to the rim. He's trying to get fouled. He's a physical player. And when you don't prepare for that physicality, it comes back to bite you.
Okay, you know what? So we're basically saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's different sides of the same coin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what
we're
saying. So I'm not worried about his weight. I mean, it is what it is.
I'm not worried about his weight either, but I do believe that the weight came on because he stopped doing cardio stuff, which leads to keeping your wheels in shape.
Yeah.
So to me, there's a direct correlation there. If he was running and training as he always does, his regular off season. I know it's an irregular off season, but if he was able to somehow
basically no off season.
True.
But I mean, how do you gain 20 pounds in a month and a half? I have no idea, dude.
You do nothing, which is even worse.
That's right.
However, you can loosely adhere to whatever you generally subscribe to during a conventional offseason, he failed to do. I know you only played for one team in your career, but can you imagine if you were – I know football's so different, but just imagine being dealt from the Giants. Will put you in a totally different contract. We'll deal you out to we'll give you to the Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
All right? We'll give you to the Dolphins. Can you imagine – even though everybody in Miami, oh, Tiki, he's a great player. Oh, he's on my fantasy team. Oh, he's one of the best running backs. Everybody knew you were great, just like everybody knew Harden was great. You still would have – even more of just to reinforce and cement that belief, because now you're trying to showcase those talents for a brand new fan base, even though you know that they know that you're great.
That's a bad example because it's
Why
Miami.
Why is that a bad example?
Because if it's Miami, you know I'm going to be like looking jacked and working out just so I can go sit on the beach.
I would send you to Buffalo.
Give me Buffalo or Indianapolis or somewhere like that where it's like, dude, I'm just going to sit in my room and do nothing.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's a better example. Miami, nah, I'd have been tight.
So there's a two-headed attack, you and Edgerrin James. You happy?
Exactly, I am. Yeah, but I hear you. No, you do want to prove. I mean, I would see that when guys would come in, free agents or whatever. There was no trades back in my day, really. But the free agents that would come in, you could see them, like, trying to hustle to put that extra work in so they can prove that they belong or at least make their new teammates say, this guy does belong. And that's It's an interesting dynamic that happens in sports, regardless of your status.
No doubt. No matter what the resume says, there's still this internal, voice. Hey, mm-hmm. I got to show it again. Yep. I got to prove it again.
These guys got to trust me.
Yeah. And, I don't think any sport really messes with the mind pertaining to that, like baseball.
That's a good point.
I mean, you get traded to a new city. And, again, football, there's 10 other guys near you. Basketball, there's 4 other guys near you. Kind of blend in baseball. You get traded, especially if you're a star. Mm-hmm. Like, you get traded to a new team and you're 1-for-19. Everybody knows you're a stud, but you're still 1-for-19. And you start to press, and generally, it probably escalates to 2-for-30 before it actually goes back to, represent what you really are as a player. We'll see what you got. I mean, first round of the playoffs, and that's fully held. Are they fully held?
No.
Are they
I don't
fully-
see them fully.
You don't see them fully held?
No. I don't see them whole. Struggling either. I don't see them fully whole.
By round one.
But I don't see them struggling either.
Right now, you're going to put them in the NBA Finals today?
No.
Me neither.
No.
How can you? It's all blind stuff if you're doing that.
Blind faith.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kyrie and I see in round one, ask me after round one, and Kyrie's there with just him and Harden or KD maybe on some limited minutes, and mm-hmm. he is miraculous, maybe I'll reconsider. But right now, I can't see it.
All right. Let's get to this coming up next. By the way, in about 20 minutes, Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst, former coach Raven, Super Bowl champ, will get his thoughts on some of the quarterback prospects coming out, some of the quarterback situations around the league. He just wrote a book about quarterbacks. So we'll get with that with Coach. How about this? Getting paid bonuses for being popular, not for production, for being popular, for moving the needle, Q rating. Well, one sports idea, which is very unique, could actually force others to further connect with their fans. We'll explain what that means, and we'll do it next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, this weekend, CBS takes you to the next stop on the PGA Tour. Some of the sport's biggest names roll into the Big Easy as they hook up at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Live coverage Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific on CBS. Speaking of CBS, Dottie Pepper, our colleagues, you got a new book out. It's been on the scene for a long time. Great golf mind, great personality. She'll join us coming up next hour. Looking forward to having Dottie. I don't think, unless we had her once or twice when we first started, I don't know that we've ever had Dottie on the show.
Yeah, I don't think so. Obviously, we know her work very well.
Oh, yeah.
Being She's a colleague of ours. But I don't think we have at all, BT.
I think
so
you're
it'll
right.
be fun.
Looking forward to it. The maiden voyage with Dottie. So we'll do that. Brian Billick coming up next segment. Talk quarterbacks, talk draft, etc. And, mentioned Dottie. This is pretty interesting what the PGA Tour is setting up here. They basically have – here's the thumbnail sketch. They have set up a $40 million pool, all right? And they will award percentages of that to the top 10 most popular players on tour based on metrics, based on measurable metrics, right? Data points. And Yeah, I find this really interesting because you can have
interesting like, or
both
like disturbing.
Interesting and no, interesting and awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, this has nothing to do if you have top tens or if you win in majors. You can conceivably let me paint an image for you. This is why I think it's really great. You can have say 25 starts on the PGA Tour for the 2021-2022 season and not make a single cut. However, if you putt with the putter behind your back and between your legs, I mean, nobody would do that. I'm just making a point. If you do something very colorful, every time you play and people are like, I got to watch this nut job putt, you're going to watch him. Guess what? You're going to be all over social media. You're going to generate clicks. And what is that all good for? The strength of the sport, connectability to sports fans, which I think of all the other of the majors, Major League Baseball needs to implement this because that's the one thing that they've been sorely chasing and lacking is that real connectivity to fans.
I think it would exacerbate their existing problem. That is,
why do you think that?
Sluggers trying to slug even more. I got to hit this thing 510 feet as opposed to 470.
Maybe you get an exit velo of XYZ
instead of like being just fundamentally sound.
Maybe you'd have a few more guys swinging for the fences at this point. The way it's basically 38%, home run walk strikeout rate, which is an all-time high, so nobody would even notice if it goes up to 40% because half the time there's so much inaction right now in the game. I'm not saying that you're wrong. It might lead to a few more whiffs, whatever, but I think it would force guys or at least incentivize players to do their thing on social media, which baseball players Stroman's pretty active.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bauer's active. Very few baseball players do anything on Twitter.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'm
looking at the details of this, what is being called the Player Impact Program.
Yep.
This was in direct response to the Premier Golf League. Remember, we talked about that a year or maybe even 2 years ago, where they were trying, there's a Saudi Arabian funded tour-like concept that was trying to lure away some of the biggest golfers, including Tiger and Rory and a few of these guys.
But
they all shut it down.
Yeah.
So the PGA, the players shot it down, but the PGA saw what was being proposed there and are trying to incorporate it. So it's only my only problem with this, BT, is that there are only 10 beneficiaries. So it's like, think of a Q score if you were talking about media personalities or TV personalities. What's the guys that have the biggest Q score are going to get paid more money, and the guy who's deemed most valuable, not necessarily the one who won the most tournaments or most majors or even a major, just the most valuable to this impact on the golf world will get an $8 million bonus. It just, to me, it seems exclusionary, right? It seems like, I don't know. So I'm trying to think of a name of someone who is off the beaten path, really good golfer. But
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah,
good
Cantlay.
Player. Nobody knows who Patrick. I mean, we know. Nobody knows Patrick.
Exactly. And he could win five tournaments, but do it in a very boring way. And he's excluded from
this. But that's the whole thing. It's incentive not to be boring.
Yeah, but isn't
golf? Get on social media. Do your thing.
But isn't golf one of those sports where like it's so routinized that to do anything outside
routinized. drop that into all
right? It's where you to do anything outside of it is I don't know. It could throw your game off. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Throw your game off, or not acceptable within the stodgy nature of the way golf used to be.
Well,
or both.
I mean, that I don't really care about.
Because I think that's gone.
I think it is as well.
Okay, so I
think it
is.
I don't even care anymore about. Yeah. Quiet, please.
Yeah.
Quiet on the day. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. Sometimes you want that, ideally, but if somebody's talking in the background, right? You get over it. To me, it's less about that. It's more about what happens if you're the 11th, Q score rated guy or whatever they want to call this, a player impact rated player, and you just miss out on this. And how do you get into it?
You just miss out on it. Then you know what? There's the incentive to maybe do a little more, to promote yourself a little bit more. There's a carrot that you're dangling. Now, not everybody gets to nibble on the carrot, but if you do what's required to fall inside the top 10, you get a nice little taste of the carrot. Mm-hmm. And that's a tasty little carrot right there. $10 million for the top one in terms of the number one position. I think it's awesome. I mean, think about this. You would get guys otherwise who might not be inclined to do anything on social media.
Yeah.
They might sit around and say, and again, $2 million to some of these guys, as crazy as it sounds, is really nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's still $2 million.
A sponsor deal is that. They have like eight of them.
I know. But it's still $2 million. So does it incentivize them to, you know, they're having a couple of beers and they're fishing, they're deep sea fishing. And they do something colorful, or do you see more bikini shots of their girlfriends and their wives when they're on the? I don't know. I mean, I know this. You know, Paige Sporanic, who's all over the place with social media. I know you know who that is with Instagram, yep. etc. There's reward for that kind of a click value, and I think I don't know that it's a foolproof recipe to improve the visibility of the sport. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is it can't hurt. There is nobody that can convince me that this would be bad for golf.
Yeah.
But at that point, give it a shot.
Look, the guy who jumps out to this obviously is Bryson DeChambeau, because he's just different. He's unique. I think he has a personality only because I played some golf with him, but I don't know if he has like an on-course personality. I have no idea. Nope. But he's interesting because of how he plays the game. And so a lot of people would think he's the natural benefactor of this, right? Because he's got name recognition. He physically looks different than all the other golfers.
He wins.
He crushes the ball. He's crashed sometimes.
Yep. He's human.
He's polarizing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He makes mistakes and looks terrible. Like, dude, I could have hit that shot. Not really, but you know what I mean.
He hit the worm burner off the tee about a month ago.
That's what I mean. So, he's the guy who you think is going to ride this.
Maybe.
And if Tiger was playing, of course it would be Tiger.
Maybe. But let me tell you now, you're looking at it, at the Tigers and the Phils and the Rorys and the Jordan Spieth's still young.
Yeah.
And the DJs and the Koepkes. Koepkes pretty boring. I don't know if he would. Great, but he's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. So is Dustin Johnson, actually. I think you're missing the boat on this one angle. I don't think that this necessarily yes, it would be incentive for the older golfers, sure. But, Teak, you got a whole crop of kids right now who are in their college dorms, whether it's Oklahoma State, Ricky Fowler, who's got a great program, or they're playing golf at Stanford, or they're playing golf at Florida, somewhere in the SEC, and they are getting ready to join the ranks of the tour, right? And suddenly, this is a little incentive for them to make some money when they don't have their pockets stuffed with cash yet.
Yeah.
And again, that's all good for the sport. There's nothing bad about that. These guys aren't going to go out there and make a fool of themselves. But if you can just make yourself a little more human, put yourself in the living room or on the phone more specifically on in our day-to-day lives more frequently, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think baseball should adopt the same thing.
I think for golfers, this is probably going to be hard to do, because some of them just aren't like social beings, you know.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I've met a bunch of them. I'm just saying, just some of them just aren't like good with gab and being, I don't know, flippant and light. They're golfers.
Yeah.
So they'll miss out on this. That's my problem. Those guys who are really good golfers, they just don't have the ability to like look at me. They don't want to do that. Then this doesn't apply to them.
You're looking at the guys who are going to miss out, which certainly applies to a percentage. But I'm mm-hmm. looking at the guys who are going to benefit, which will ultimately benefit the sport. You don't see that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. But
so you like it.
But I think they could benefit the sport regardless if they're getting paid for it. You know what I mean?
Well, no, they'll personally benefit by playing well. The sport won't necessarily benefit. Nobody's showing up to watch. Again, if you take Tiger and Phil, not even Phil this year, but Tiger and the DJs and the Spieths and the Spieth now, you take those 7-8 names off the leaderboard. You know, let me ask you, did you watch the Valero Open? Now, I know Jordan Spieth won that one, and maybe you checked it on. Okay.
No, I just saw the highlights as it was happening.
Exactly. Now, if Tiger's playing the Valero Open, I guarantee you would have watched a little bit more than you did. I watched that because my in-laws were in. And, you know, Jordan Spieth was playing well for a month before that, and I want to see him seal the deal, first win in 4 years. So I watched a lot of the Valero Open out there in San Antonio. But, you know, a lot of people did not. And to me, if you get more interesting people instead of relying on the same name, I mean, we all miss Tiger, and we all pray that Tiger's able to will himself again after all the back and knee and Achilles surgery. Somehow we expect this guy still to try to play golf. We're praying for you. We miss you. But eventually Tiger Woods is going to be gone from golf.
Yeah.
And we hope he lives till he's 110, but he's not going to be playing golf.
That's
we
good point.
Can't keep leaning on Tiger Woods.
That's a good
and
point.
I think the PGA Tour knows this. So they're coming up with creative things. I like it. I do. Ack, what's going on today, buddy? How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah? How your Metsies looking this year? Do you like your Mets so far, yes or no?
There are a lot of things I like about them. They're still not a finished product in terms of championship contender, though.
Very formal analysis. I would agree with that, but no, they're looking pretty good. So I just saw Bryce Harper go yard. He had a bullet to right center, a liner that just made the fence. But I don't know what the exit velo, but that was a liner. That had to be about a buck 10, I would imagine. I would imagine.
As they said in the Bugs Bunny cartoon, a screaming liner.
Yeah, I don't know if I caught that one, but I get the reference. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. Coach Billick, talk about the draft prospects and other quarterback situations around the NFL. Ack's update, that it's Coach Billick. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney back at it. Next hour, Gary Payton calls LeBron a better all-around player than MJ. Now, you got to respect the glove's tenacity. Do we respect the opinion or the accuracy? We respect everybody's opinion. Do we latch on to the accuracy of that comment? We'll get to that coming up. Also next hour, Dottie Pepper, part of the CBS crew, talks some golf. Second major rapidly approaching. Get our thoughts on the new incentive fund, $40 million for golfers to be more visible, more active on social media. But Teague, now we're joined by one of our favorite coaches out there, Brian Billick of the NFL Network, an author, an analyst, Super Bowl winning coach as well, and coaches with us here on Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Brian, welcome back, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing awesome. Got a lot of things I want to throw at you. So first up, Teague and I started the show. There was that report back in 2017 from ESPN about, you know, Bill Belichick maybe flirting or at least kicking the tires on the Giants job and the Dolphins job and Washington at that point. You're a couple of years younger than Belichick. He, to me, appears to be a lifelong grinder. Like, he's coaching until they just say you can't coach anymore. But you intimately know the grind. I believe, Brian, at some point, Bill is going to coach in a different city in the NFL. Do you agree with that?
Wow. Yeah, that would be interesting because, yeah, Bill's 2 years older than me, so I have a huge respect for the grind that I couldn't do it. I just, the grind that is being a head coach in the NFL, and for him to keep, he and Pete Carroll, you know, Bruce Arians, you know, the way they just keep pounding away at it is just, it's something to admire. That would be something for him to make that change at this late date would be, and the question would be why. I mean, he has the challenge now to kind of put this thing back together. He's got all the support that he needs, obviously, from ownership. They've got the structure in place. I'm not quite sure, other than he just wants to go to a warmer locale. Year-round, you know, he's got the house in Nantucket. I don't know what the motivation would be, particularly at this late stage.
Different challenge, Coach. Different challenge, different room, different voice, different building.
There's enough of a different challenge with what they're having to do now. To, you know, if there's that, if you've got that itch that, okay, I want to show I can do this under a different circumstance, well, he's got it there. He doesn't have to go someplace else because the way they're having to rebuild this.
Yeah,
it's a good point. So, you know, and it could also be, I mean, but how much money do you need? It could be, you know, what's that going to pay?
Yeah, true.
And that could break the bank as well. So, you know, it would be interesting to see. But I think I don't know why he would. There's plenty of challenge where he is right now to get this thing reestablished.
Yeah, you're right. You can't take money with you. You can leave it to your kids, but you can't take it with you. You know, sticking not necessarily with the New England Patriots, but kind of, and it's just a larger question, but they this brings my question to mind. Robert Kraft was talking about how they don't draft well, and Bill Belichick responded the last couple of days how they're, you know, reconfiguring their draft strategy. And I think there's some confusion around what that means, because don't you just take the team, the guy that you need? Tell us a little bit about draft strategies. We're just under a week, a week away from the beginning of the NFL draft. What strategies are there, and why is it important, you know, for a team like New England, who generally hasn't had to crush their drafts, to actually hit their draft this year?
Yeah, well, how many times will we hear, well, we take the best player available? Okay, and it's cliche. Mm-hmm. And New England's been in a unique position prior to this because of Tom Brady and the way they've had it, is that they have typically manipulated and fallen back to, they're built around role players because they had the right guy at quarterback. They could plug in the role players, continue to build for those extra picks in the future, and could always roll going forward with the next year in mind in terms of building and doing the exact same thing. Well, like we said, this is different. This is, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy, because this is different now. You need some players, and you need some A players. So from that, what they're talking about, I think, I would estimate, is they haven't been a big, you know, they haven't been in the front end of the draft a whole lot. So they haven't taken that marquee player, that blue chip player. They take a lot, like I said, a lot of the role players and try to out-evaluate people. But they need some top-end people, and they're in the front end of the draft right now. You know, I don't think they plan on being there a whole lot, but they've got to take advantage of it. So, yeah, it is a different philosophy or a different mode for them in that they need some A players.
So, Brian, what do you think about Urban Meyer? It's one thing to have like a direct voice, and he's very direct and very confident, very much in charge of everything, and be the big man on a college campus. Does he need to kind of tweak or slightly modify how he interacts with the media? Can he just basically be Urban Meyer as is and have that fly in an NFL city?
Sure can, because you have the example of Bill Belichick. You know, you got to win. You know, that goes part and parcel, because, you know, you've got the prototype of Bill Belichick that just basically tells us all to go to hell and just keeps plowing through it. Well, as long as you win, that works.
Yeah.
And so Urban can be whatever Urban is going to be, the authoritarian and the very competent and very confident in what he's doing. He's in a small market in terms of Jacksonville. Now, dealing with the amount of national media that he had that at Ohio State and Florida, certainly, but not to the same degree. And so Jacksonville's a small market, media market, so that's easy. You know, you're going to sit in there in your news conferences, there's three people. But dealing with the national media on a more regular basis, who are going to now more nationally criticize and critique, you know, that's a little bit different. But at the end of the day, you're going to stay true to who you are, and you can do that as long as you win. If you don't, then yeah, you stay true to who you are, but they just run you out.
Well, and because I asked that, and I figured you'd probably say that, and I would agree, but to my recollection, Belichick wasn't as ornery to the media and as evasive in Cleveland as he has been the last 20 years with the Pats.
Yeah, because he wasn't any good.
That's what I'm saying. He had no resume.
And that's the part of the problem you see. Not a problem. It's probably wording it the wrong way, but the Bill Belichick disciples that then go on and get head jobs,
yeah,
that try to do the same thing.
Yep.
Whoa. We'll put up with an asshole when you're winning.
Yeah. Yep. Not necessarily when you're losing.
I agree.
Before Coach, you can act like this.
Yeah. Coach, you've been following and supporting X-Tech since it really started. And we know that you can, this was past season was tough for high school kids, because a lot of them didn't even have seasons. And so they may have outgrown their pads. You have a promo code, which is awesome for moms and dads out there looking for pads. This is the elite pad for high school kids and NFL kids. Coach21 for 10% off their order. Tell us about X-Tech and what they have going on for this upcoming season.
Well, you guys have been with us from the beginning, and very proud of it. I mean, we're the number one pad, started from nowhere 7 years ago. We're the number one pad in the NFL, number one pad in major college football, and becoming the number one pad in high school. What's interesting is that parents, as you alluded to, and Tiki, you know this firsthand, mm-hmm. have become more involved, more hands-on in terms of what equipment is my son wearing, what's the training method, what are they doing? And that's been and because of that, they're becoming more and more aware of X-Tech pads, which are the best pads in football. And we're taking the head out of the game. You got to protect the shoulders. This is the best pad in football. So it's been fun now to kind of trickle down. And we're in all the top major high schools, Modern Day, De La Salle, South Lake Carroll in Texas. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Heavyweights.
And it's fun to see parents getting more involved and making sure that their kids are protected the best they can, like we all do as parents. And that best protection is X-Tech Pat.
Yeah, and use your code here, COACH21. By the way, the reason that parents are involved is because they don't give the pads anymore like they used to in high school.
At high school, right? you got to buy them.
You got to buy them.
It's a racket, I'll tell you. It's a racket. So it's over to Brian Billick, of course, former Super Bowl winning coach, always a Super Bowl winning coach, and analyst for the NFL Network. So, Brian, I'm going to put you in a spot here. If I said, all right, Coach, write down in order the we all know the five names. We know Lawrence, we know Wilson, we know Fields, we know Trey Lance, we know Mac Jones. In order, and put that piece of paper in your desk drawer and open it in 10 years. Who, in, one through five, best to worst, or most impressive to least impressive, to be maybe a little nicer.
Wow.
How would you put these kids in order in the careers that you anticipate? I know it's a tough question. How you anticipate them doing in the NFL, one through five?
Yeah, and it is a tough question because, and I wrote the book, The Q Factor. We talked about that last year.
Yep.
That how often we screw up the first round picks in the NFL. I mean, it's a 50-50 crapshoot at best. So I can make my list like everybody else can.
I got you.
Kind of the way that people are seeing it right now, and knowing with the qualifier that half of them, half are now. Which half are we going to be wrong on? That's the tougher question because all these kids could play. All these kids checked the box, as did Jamarcus Russell and Vince Young and Joey Harrington and Achilles Smith.
They all did.
You know, they,
Bowler.
Couch, yeah, but Kyle Bowler, yeah, got to put him on that list.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they all check the box. But, there's, you know, why half of them fail? I don't know. Trevor Lawrence, clearly, I can't remember a player since
Luck,
the guy in Indianapolis.
Luck Peyton.
Came out that was so uniformly looked at as, yes, this guy has got it.
Yep.
We all agree he's the guy. Now, after that, it's all qualifier.
Hey, coach, 20 seconds, pal.
I got Zach Wilson, number two. I'm going to go with Trey Lance, number three. Fields, number four. And Mac Jones, number five.
Interesting.
Who could be a great pro.
Yep.
But he needs to be an early second-round pick.
Interesting. Good stuff at the end right there. Good stuff throughout. But, coach, up against the time. Otherwise, we keep rolling. Brian Billick. The X-Tech pads, check them out. We'll tweet out the promo code for you. Great job on the book. NFL Network analyst. Thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Take care, coach.
There you go. Hey, coach, give me the list. Stop beating around the bush, will you? One through five. Hey, Teak, an NBA legend just weighed in on the GOAT conversation, and it kind of is interesting. We'll get to that coming up next. Third hour, just about to start.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.